The following program is a presentation of Grand Slam Ministries.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Dan Scott Show. I am Dan. Largely because nobody else wants to be. It is great to have you with us as always. Hope that you are having a great week so far, an even better weekend. And you know our mantra here, we'll try not to do anything to mess it up. We're presented as always by our 501c3 nonprofit Grand Slam Ministries. And looking forward to this episode number 66, which is going to be, I dare say, the most unusual of the episodes that we have done in this program. And what I mean by that simply is this. The usual mode of operation is identifying a guest, reaching out to that person, getting them to agree to come on the program, doing research on them, setting the day for the interview, and then actually doing the interview live, mostly via Zoom, with that person for playback at a time in the future, usually 2 or 3 weeks down the road. We've been trying to operate a little bit ahead of schedule since the calendar turned. That's how things normally go. That is not the case this week because our guest, the primary subject of our show this week, a gentleman by the name of Bobby Dobson, passed away back in 2019, and yet we have this remarkable record of his testimony available to us, which you are going to hear on the show today, and then you're going to hear in the second half of the program from a man named Brent Sanders, who knew Bobby Dobson very well. Who is Bobby Dobson? Why are we featuring him today? Well, we're doing it at the behest of a former guest of the program, Jim Anthony, who told me, you have got to hear this guy's testimony, and he was absolutely correct. I'll tell you the rest of it when we come back, but first, I want you to hear this from Grand Slam Ministries.
Here at Grand Slam Ministries, our goal is to share the love of Jesus Christ through multiple platforms, while at the same time executing our core missions of mentorship and helping children in need. The primary way we can effectively do all of those things is through The Dan Scott Show, our weekly Christian radio show that airs in multiple markets around the nation and the world. We are asking you to partner with us to not only sustain what we are currently doing, but to grow both our on-air, online presence, and our ability to fund those core missions. Can you spare as little as $25 per month? How about $10 per month? If we can get 200 partners to join us at each of those small, sustainable levels, we can begin to accomplish everything we believe God has called us to do. So can you help us today with a donation of either $25 or $10 per month? Please go to www.grandslamministries.org for your donation, to get more information, or to ask questions. That's grandslamministries.org. And thank you for supporting The Dan Scott Show and Grand Slam Ministries.
Want to see a listing of our affiliates? Check out videos or listen to past shows and explore our archives? It's all available at our website, danscottshow.org. And now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back. We are basically just getting things cranked up here on this edition of the Dan Scott Show, episode 66. Thank you again for tuning in. I'll just take a quick second to remind you, as I always try to do, that the one-stop shop to find out everything about what we do is danscottshow.org. Go to the Affiliates and Archives page. Every show that we have done is archived there, accessible via our podcast site. There's some SoundCloud bonus material. The full list of all of our affiliates where the show airs over the air on Saturdays and Sundays in various markets around the country and internationally. And of course, the Grand Slam Ministries site is a page at danscottshow.org. So check it out. Contact information is there as well, and we would love to hear from you. All right, let's get into this. Bobby Dobson, among those who knew him well in the years leading up to his passing in 2019, would describe him most likely as a giant of the faith, someone who completely sold out for Jesus Christ. He was very philanthropic. We're going to hear about that coming up. He was a humble person who did everything for the glory of Jesus after he gave his life to Christ. Before, maybe not so much, but that is something that just falls in line with what we do here on this show, and that's tell stories of the amazing transformation that Jesus makes in people's lives. What you are going to hear in this segment is the audio of a YouTube video that's out there put together by a company called More Than This, and you're going to hear from Bobby Dobson himself. There are some other folks out there on this video that you'll hear, and I would highly suggest you go back and watch it at some point on YouTube. But you're going to hear that audio, and then later you're going to hear a brief interview I did with one of Bobby's closest friends this week. I did the interview with Brent Sanders. We'll do that coming up in the next segment. But right now, here is the More Than This production on the life of Bobby Dobson.
Most of us spend little time reflecting on life because we're too busy living it. But there are moments when we ask ourselves, is this all there is? Has all my work resulted in nothing more? And then we usually conclude there has to be more to life than this. This is a story of an extraordinary man who, by God's grace, discovered that there was indeed more to his life than this.
It has been said that no parent should bury their child. So it's hard for anyone to imagine a father burying three children. But that's part of Bobby Dobson's story. And the question is not how he survived such grief, but what became of him in its wake. This is the story of Bobby Dobson. Born on November 27, 1938, Robert A. Bobby Dobson III was the oldest of three children who grew up in a modest home in Greenville, South Carolina. Gifted with an exceptional intellect, Bobby was Greenville High's valedictorian in 1956 and was one of the inaugural recipients of the National Merit Scholarship. He went on to the University of South Carolina, where he played varsity tennis and was president of Kappa Sigma Fraternity. After law school, Bobby joined his father's tax practice and quickly distinguished himself as one of the state's premier attorneys. He married and was the father of five children before a divorce from his first wife. Bobby was remarried to Beth and experiencing tremendous success when tragedy struck. On September 1, 1991, Laura Kathleen Dobson, Bobby's only daughter and a beautiful young lady of 20 years old, died in a tragic car accident just before starting her junior year at Clemson University. She would be the first of three children that Bobby would have to bury.
The death of my daughter, Laura, in a car crash at age 20, while she was a student at Clemson, changed my life. Totally changed my life. It was a huge shock when she died. She'd just become engaged that week, and she was on her way to a family birthday party for one of my first grandchildren. We got the news that she had died in an automobile accident on the way to the party. I was absolutely in shock and totally destroyed by that, because she and I had been estranged for years because of my divorce. I had been patient and waited for things to change, and after years, things had changed and we were back together again, and it was wonderful, and we were doing things together. And then all of a sudden she was gone, and it wasn't right. If God is good, and if God is love, and if God wants the best for us, and if He's in control, then why did He make that happen? Why did He let that happen? What's going on with God? Everything I thought was just blown out of the water, and I couldn't understand it. I was dying. I felt that I was dying in my anger and my frustration. The night before the funeral, a friend of mine who was not a religious person, he went to church, but he was the last guy in the world you'd think would do something like this, came to me in the middle of reception, which was at my ex-wife's house, and he rushed up to me and said, "God sent me to tell you something." And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And he said, "God sent me to tell you that He knows what you're thinking." And I said, "Well, what does God think I'm thinking?" He says, "God thinks you're thinking that if He is a good God and if He loves you, why did He cause Laura to die, right?" I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm thinking." And he said, "Well, God sent me to tell you that you don't have it right. God sent me to tell you that He loves you and He loves Laura and she's going to be okay, and He is sorry for your pain, and now I got to go." And he rushed out. And so I said, I don't know what to say. I didn't understand it. I thought he was nuts or something. Today I understand it really well. That is when things began to happen that let me know that God had His hand on my life and that He knew who I was personally and that He was not just some thing up there in the sky. He was my friend and He loved me. I went to bed and I couldn't sleep at all. I was burning up, I felt, with fever. Finally, in desperation, I couldn't stand it anymore. I felt like I was dying. And I said, "Holy Spirit, I don't know who or what you are, but if you can help me, please do, because I can't live like this." I will never forget those words. That's exactly what I said. And the minute I finished saying that, I felt cool water poured over my head. And it washed down through my body and out through my feet, and all of the anger and frustration and all of the bad feelings just washed away from me. I went to sleep, slept all night long. The next day I went to the funeral, and I was able to appreciate the beauty of Laura's life without all of that bitterness and hard feeling. And more importantly than that, I was a totally different person. And people told me, my coworkers and my friends said, "You are not the same person." Well, after my life changed and I turned it over to God, I made many new and wonderful friends who helped mentor me in my faith and helped me grow in my faith. But the two that stand out the most are Don Preston and my wife Beth. Don, I had known for years, and when I was practicing law, I had done the legal work for him when he sold his business, and he made a lot of money. That was a good many years ago. He made a lot of money, and he told me in the process that he was giving all of the money that he made from selling his business away. And I said, "Who are you giving it to?" He said, "I'm giving it to Campus Crusade for Christ." And I said, "Who is that?" And he told me who Campus Crusade was, and that made no sense to me. That was before my life had changed. And made no sense to me that somebody would give away all the money he made from selling his business. That's essentially what he did, though. And we lost touch. I thought that was really weird. I thought this guy's strange. And I would see him from time to time, and I heard that he had sold another business and given all the money away. And I thought, well, he's strange, but he's persistent. Then I heard about him doing this and him doing that. He's the one who started the Wednesday morning Bible study in Greenville, which has been instrumental in, if not thousands, at least many hundreds of men coming to know the Lord. He lived his faith strongly, and I finally came to realize not that he was not crazy and he was not really strange, but he knew something I didn't know. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if I could give everything away like that, if I had the freedom and the faith to do that. Well, a couple of years after I quit practicing law, I made a huge financial windfall. I was in a position to where I could give away even more than Don Preston did. I remembered the lesson I had learned from Don, and it was hard for me to pull the trigger on making large gifts of money, but I did. With his help, I started giving away significant amounts of money, and he continued to be my mentor, my friend, for years. We met weekly, and I'm so thankful that at the end of his life, when he was very, very sick, he and I spent an awful lot of time together during his last days, and that was rich, a rich blessing for me. The other person is Beth. She was not what you would call a believer when we first were married, nor at the time that I came to know the Lord. After I got so involved and excited about ministry, I tried to share that with her, and she wasn't particularly interested. I mean, she was raised in the church. She believed in God, but she did not have what I would call a personal relationship with the Lord. As a result of a lot of prayer, somebody asked her to go to Wednesday morning Bible study for women, and she went. Happened out of the clear blue sky, and she became a strong believer too, and she has kept me straight. She has given me sound advice. She has kept me from making mistakes. She has been a person that I could go to for advice and count on her advice being good, and I do not know how I could possibly have gotten to where I am and have accomplished what I and we have accomplished without her help. Well, I was all about evangelism after my life changed. I was obsessed, maybe is a too strong a word, but I was passionate about the fulfillment of the Great Commission. I supported missionaries. I supported evangelistic efforts. I went on mission trips to various places, some with Don Preston. Along the line, I suddenly realized that along with evangelism, you have to have love. What does it mean to follow Jesus? He said, take up your cross and follow me. That means accept life with all of the pain and suffering that goes with it, because it's part of life. And God showed us that by giving us Jesus, the Christ, who suffered and lived with pain and sorrow and suffering during his life, and then was raised and redeemed. We, as individuals, have to go through the same process at one time or another. If we can accept the fact that Jesus suffered, how can we really resent the fact that we have to suffer in our lives too? How can we? It's part of life. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Those are my twin passions, to tell the world about, to spread the gospel throughout the world, and to love my neighbor as myself. Things have happened to me that are beyond coincidence. My great financial windfall came from selling stock in Baby Superstore. I almost sold my stock for a fraction of what it was worth before the stock went public, which meant I would have never had that large financial windfall. And I was saved from doing that, as far as I'm concerned, by God, because the guy who was going to buy my stock got in trouble with the law, lost his financial standing, and was not able to fulfill his end of the contract to buy my stock, so I was able to keep it. And by that time, I had discovered that the stock was about to go public. So I kept it very happily and made a lot of money on it, which I have been able, well, all of that money I've given away. I don't have any of that money left. And I've done a lot of good with it. God's done a lot of good with it. I haven't done diddly, except what He told me to do. What would I say to people in their early adulthood and in their middle age about financial success? First of all, I acknowledge that there are a lot of good books by Christian authors out there about financial success, how to achieve it. For a long time, I thought I was going to write a book. And then I started looking at the stack of books I have on that same subject in my library, and I thought, they've been there and done that already. I don't need to write a book about that. But I do talk to people about that quite a bit. And I believe this very firmly. I believe that a person who is not being guided by the Lord never has enough money. $100 million isn't enough to satisfy human greed. The first major gift I ever made was a gift to Campus Crusade for Christ. And here's how that came about. I had this big pot of money that I wanted to give away, but I couldn't pull the trigger on giving it away. I couldn't figure out how to give it away, whom to give it away to. I would give away $500 here and $1,000 here, but I was afraid. I didn't trust anybody. I didn't know who I could trust to give a large amount of money to be sure that they would use it properly. Now, I have learned since then that if you give it for God's purposes, God can do whatever the heck He wants to with it, and He can make sure that it gets used well. But it was hard for me to learn that lesson. I was agonizing about this, and I was actually praying daily that God would help me give the money away and help free me up. This is what I meant when I said that things have happened that let me know God had His hand on me. So one day in the mail, I get an invitation to an event to be held at Greenville Country Club, and it says, come here, so-and-so and so, and talk so-and-so, talk about Campus Crusade for Christ and their evangelical work in China. Yeah, okay, well, I get these things all the time. And I'm putting it aside when I see that there were three names on the bottom of the invitation. Don Preston was one of them. Picked it back up, RSVP'd, yes, I would come, went to the program, was blown away by the program, and signed a pledge to give $400,000 to the work in China that night. That's what got me started giving money away in significant amounts, and that's what got me started with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Few people know the name of the person who led Billy Graham to Christ. But because that person took time to share the gospel with a 16-year-old, millions of people now claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In the same way, few people may know Don Preston, who invested his time in a man named Bobby Dobson. And the return of investment for him, the eternal return of investment, is countless.
When I was giving away this big pot of money that I had, the University of South Carolina, my alma mater, asked me to make a significant contribution. I said, "What do you mean by significant?" And they said, they really meant significant. And so I said, "Well, I love the university, but I can't do that because I only give large amounts of money to ministry and to the Lord's work." So I made a gift to the Educational Foundation with the understanding that I and people I appointed could control how the money was spent. And it was to be spent on students and faculty members, but mostly students, going on mission trips and doing service work, learning to help other people. At first, it was a struggle to keep the secularism out of the project, but we got that licked, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful project. We had a 20-year anniversary celebration down in Columbia last year, and the statistics were not exact, but during that 20 years, our project has sent over 1,700 students on mission trips to places inside the United States and abroad on most of the continents. I have talked with a lot of the students who have gone on those trips. There is no question in my mind that it has changed the career objectives of a lot of them. A lot of people have gone into ministry. A lot of people have gone into the medical field as they were planning to do, but have gone it with a new purpose of becoming medical missionaries and doing medical mission trips, and I participated in one trip like that to Costa Rica earlier this year. First one of those trips that I've ever personally participated in, and it was really nice, a really wonderful experience.
After trusting his life to Christ, Bobby began to use his financial blessings to help others discover the hope he found the night before his daughter's funeral, and to help meet the needs of the less fortunate. Because of Bobby's generosity, orphans have homes, blind and deaf children have a school, people worldwide have heard the gospel. Every home in South Carolina received a copy of the Jesus video. Countless aging seniors have been encouraged, and over 1,700 capstone scholars from the University of South Carolina have done medical mission trips in third world countries. And this only scratches the surface. Bobby has also served on countless boards of companies, nonprofits, ministries, and universities. And there's always a steady stream of people seeking his advice. Most men in his position would take stock of their lives and say, "Look what I have done." But not Bobby. He considers his life and says, "Look what my loving Father has given me, and look at the great things He has done."
A lot of people have asked me, "How did you handle this? Your daughter died, and then your oldest son died, and then another son died, and you just got through it all, and you just never seemed to miss a beat. How did you do it? You were the strongest man I know of." And it sounds good for people to say that, you know, and it's flattering, but the truth of the matter is, and what I tell them is, "No, I'm not strong at all. God is my strength, and God got me through all of this. If it weren't for Him, I never would have gotten through it. God, why did you desert me during those hard times in my life? Because during those hard times in my life, your footprints disappeared and I was all alone." And God says, no, my son. When you see just the single set of footsteps, that's when I carried you through the hard times. And that is the way I envision my life. God carried me through the hard times because He wanted me to make it. I love him so much for that. There's no words.
I really hope you enjoyed that. I hope it gave you the flavor of the man that Bobby Dobson became after giving his life to Christ. And it's just an amazing story of how Jesus can take someone's life and using varying circumstances, and in this case it was a tragedy, to turn someone 180 degrees and take them from not following Christ to following him full bore. That was Bobby Dobson. When we come back, we'll hear from one of Bobby's closest friends, a guy by the name of Brent Sanders. He'll join us in the next segment. Stay with us.
Every day, there are children who leave school on Friday and eat little, and sometimes nothing, until they come back to school on Monday. It happens in every community, including yours. Many of these children live in circumstances that deprive them of basic needs necessary for a quality life. At Grand Slam Ministries, we want to change that. We want to invest in our children, giving them hope for the future. That investment includes necessities such as food, clothing, school supplies, and a safe environment to play, to study, to live. Please visit our website, grandslamministries.org. to find out more about our ministry and how you can help. We're just getting started. Will you come alongside us for the children's sake? Again, that's GrandSlamMinistries.org.
Here at Grand Slam Ministries, our goal is to share the love of Jesus Christ through multiple platforms, while at the same time executing our core missions of mentorship and helping children in need. The primary way we can effectively do all of those things is through The Dan Scott Show, our weekly Christian radio show that airs in multiple markets around the nation and the world. We are asking you to partner with us to not only sustain what we are currently doing, but to grow both our on-air and online presence and our ability to fund those core missions. Can you spare as little as $25 per month? How about $10? If we can get 200 partners to join us at each of those small, sustainable levels, we can begin to accomplish everything we believe God has called us to do. So can you help us today with a donation of either $25 or $10 per month? Go to www.grandslamministries.org to donate, to get more information, or to ask questions. That's grandslamministries.org. And thank you for supporting The Dan Scott Show and Grand Slam Ministries.
Follow us on social media. Search Grand Slam Ministries on Facebook and Grand Slam for God on Twitter. And don't forget Dan's personal and public figure sites on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You're listening to The Dan Scott Show, presented by Grand Slam Ministries.
Episode 66 of The Dan Scott Show continues. And we are going to continue our profile of Bobby Dobson. Just a wonderful testimony you heard from Bobby himself in the first segment. Of course, he passed away back in 2019, but thankfully we have that record of his life story and his testimony on YouTube. But I also had a chance this week to talk to one of his best friends, a gentleman by the name of Brent Sanders, who for 10 years, at least once a week, went to lunch with Bobby Dobson and worked with him in various capacities for a lot longer than that. Brent had a CPA firm called Carolina Consulting and Holdings from 1998 to 2016. He closed his practice to take care of his wife, who was battling breast cancer at the time. Unfortunately, she passed away. But he, as he says now, he's neither retired nor working again. He just donates 50 to 60 hours a week for his nonprofit charity called KB Charitable Trust that has several projects around Greenville, South Carolina, Johnson City, Tennessee, where we have an affiliate, and Nagaland, India, among other places. So here's the conversation that I had this week with Brent Sanders about Bobby Dobson. I guess the first thing is just tell me how you got to know Bobby, because I know that he became one of your best friends.
That is correct. I think my first interactions were Bobby, but I was controller for a big real estate developer in Easley, whose dad and Bobby's dad did a lot of business together, and therefore he and Bobby had some dealings, business dealings together. So I was in a lot of meetings with Bobby, you know, for a few years, several years. But I really didn't get to know him until I actually went out on my own and started my own CPA firm and got on a local charity called Greenville Connect. And I joined their board of directors, of which Bobby was the chair at the time. And we just got to know each other and started having lunches because we seemed to think alike. And we just started having lunches, and that kind of grew and grew and just into a very intimate friendship. He was just a very close friend and a very godly man. And I, like most people that knew Bobby, probably if they ever had a question of what to do or just struggling with anything, Bobby was always a great source of wisdom. He was known as being an extremely intelligent person, but he was also known for being extremely wise. And I never went to Bobby with a question or something I was struggling over that he didn't provide, you know, great insight into. So over a probably 10-year period, there were probably more weeks that we got together for lunch than there were weeks that we did not. Wasn't necessarily to talk about anything in particular. We just enjoyed one another and always talked about the Lord. It was never about the weather or the ball game. It was what was going on in his life and what was going on in my life. And it's just rare to find people, you know, like that. And I just drew closer and closer to Bobby, and he just had a huge impact on my life. And I think he would say the same.
You know, it's interesting. You know, Proverbs tells us iron sharpens iron, and church men's groups all over the country use that as kind of their marching orders. But Christian men a lot of times have a problem in making themselves vulnerable enough to have a friendship like that with somebody else who they can really share life with and have someone that they can use to hold them accountable. And I'm fortunate. I have a fellow deacon at Utica Baptist in Seneca that I go to coffee with once a week, and we just share life. And sometimes it's you know, just laughing and having fun, and sometimes it's really serious. But you and Bobby and what you did for all those years, that's just a great example, I think, for men who are listening, that you need to have someone that you can trust as an accountability partner, but you also have to allow yourself to be vulnerable, and that's not easy for men to do.
Well, I guess that's a great attribute of Bobby. I think Bobby was very approachable. I'm not sure that would have been true of Bobby before he became a Christian. I didn't know Bobby before he became a Christian. I think I was still working for the developer when Bobby's daughter died in the early 90s, which had a huge impact on his life. And I think through that struggle, he, you know, the Lord just really reached down and touched him, as he talks about in the video. But I remember this one story. He had a secretary that worked for him for many years, and some 6 months after he, or several months, I don't know the exact time period, after he became a Christian, his secretary came in his office to give him something, and she just asked him, she said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "Well, you're just different. What happened?" And he goes, "What do you mean I'm different?" And she was real quiet. And I guess a little scared to say it. So he said, no, you can tell me. Just be honest. What do you think's different about me? And she said, I'm not scared of you anymore. I just think Bobby, he really let the power of the gospel change his life. He was just different. And I think when I think of Bobby, he stands in my mind, in my personal life, the greatest example of the power of God, you know, to change a person. Bobby was very open about being very aggressive with things when he was an attorney, and not being, you know, a very godly person, and the drugs when he was in college, and, you know, but when God got a hold of him, he was truly transformed, and the old was passed away, and the new became different. And Bobby for sure stands out in my mind as the greatest example of transformation by the gospel. I miss him. He was just a great guy.
We're visiting with Brent Sanders, who is helping us fill in a bit about the late Bobby Dobson. This is unusual for me, Brent, because when I do this show on a weekly basis, I'm interviewing someone, and I can do research about them and ask questions about their life as it is going currently. And the premise of the show is God doing amazing work in people's lives. So it's unusual in the standpoint that I had never met Bobby Dobson. I didn't know anything about him until our mutual friend Jim Anthony said, you need to do something on this guy. And so I started researching, and I saw that video that we played earlier in the show. People heard the audio and heard the transformation in Bobby's life. And it's a great example, as you said, of the power, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ working in someone. You said that you didn't know Bobby prior to salvation, but I get the sense, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I get the sense that he was always eager to share the person he was and the person he became in Christ. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is very accurate. I remember being in a business meeting with Bobby shortly after he became a Christian. And I say shortly, it may be a year later. I was still working for his partners, and he somehow it came up, and they had actually talked about, you know, that Bobby had had a religious experience is what they called it. And Bobby, I just remember the humility that was on his face, and he was describing, you know, what had happened and the impact that it had on his life. And I just remember him with just a very calm, but very lots of assurance on his face and confidence. He just said, it was real. And it was like he was a toy that didn't have a battery in it. And when Christ came in, it just gave him a power to live his life differently, and he became alive. I mean, it's just, you know, it's what the scripture says. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we're made alive with Christ. And Bobby is a great example of becoming alive in Christ.
And one of the other examples of his changed life, as we listen to his testimony earlier, what was the fact that the impact that another Christian businessman made on him when it came to what he was doing with his money, and how that also was a 180-degree change in Bobby's life. His goal became to use what God has given him to further the kingdom, and how much of that he gave away.
Well, Bobby didn't do anything halfway. You know, he played tennis in college, and he was very good from what I hear. But if Bobby got into anything, like he was known for his hunting, because he was just an avid hunter all over the world, particularly turkey season. You just didn't find Bobby Dobson. But if he was into something, he was into it big. And if he was going to do something, he did it right. So when the Lord got a hold of him and he gave his life to Christ, he really gave his life to Christ. And he gave everything he had to his relationship with the Lord. And I think a testimony to all of us to do the same.
What would you say in all the years that you knew him, and you just told us that you basically met him shortly after he became a Christian, and you knew him until his passing in 2019, what was the biggest impact that he made on you?
The biggest impact. Well, we all want to be loved. That's just an innate characteristics that we were made to be a part of the body. We were made to be in fellowship and community. But the reality is, I think particularly for men, we don't open up, like you said earlier, as well as we should, or as often as we should, or as deep as we should. And Bobby just, for me, made me feel completely comfortable. And we just had a relationship that I just don't have with a lot of people, because I don't open up with a lot of people. And I knew from shortly after I met Bobby, you know, if I had ever needed $100,000, Bobby would have given it to me. And I knew that. And Bobby knew that I'd never asked him for it. But just to have a friend that you know that you can just be honest with your struggles, or, you know, go get advice or to draw from the well of his wisdom. It was just, I often, even now, I think Bobby's been gone close to 4 years, maybe 4 years. And if I ever think of something that I'm like, I don't know what I need to do here, Bobby's the first thing that pops in my mind. I wish Bobby was here, because he would know, you know, what I was supposed to do. And I think the greatest impact he had on my life is just being that rare friend that few people get to have. And I was fortunate enough to have it, and I miss it. And I think he was that way for a lot of people. I think there were, if you could somehow survey the community and get a list of all the people that went to Bobby Dobson when they needed wisdom, that'd be a really long list, I think.
Well, it's been enlightening for me, as I said, because I never met the man, never really knew anything about him until Jim Anthony brought his legacy to my attention, and the story that we were able to share in the first half of the show, I think is just a snippet of the man he became when he put his faith in Christ. And you know that it's legitimate as we get ready to wrap up here, Brent, because the legacy continues 4 years after his passing. The good work that he did, both not just with his money, but with his testimony, is living on beyond his time here on earth. And I think we would all love to have that said about us when our time here on earth is done.
Well, I'll make one more comment. If you've got time, you
yes,
can
sir.
Put it in. You can put it in or delete it. I'm convinced that we only change as we yield and get out of the way and allow Christ to come in and through us. I don't believe Jesus came to make bad people better. He came to make dead people alive. Mm. And the life that we have in Christ is not our life made better. It's Christ living through us. That's why when we're connected to the vine, as it says in John, that we bear fruit, because it's Christ coming out of us. And I think Bobby's legacy will remain for many generations because he touched so many people. But it was not Bobby, a bad person, becoming a good person. It was Bobby dying and Christ living through him. And he, through that, he obviously, like all of us, can change the world as Christ did, because it's not us. It's Christ in us. And Bobby, I think, was an example who abided in Christ, and people saw it. There was a difference with Bobby.
I want to thank Brent Sanders again for spending some time with us today and helping us share more about the legacy of Bobby Dobson. This was an unusual week for me because I'm doing a show about someone I never met. But because we had that YouTube record, it's as if he was right here with us. And just want to thank Jim Anthony, who was a guest on the show right back before the first of the year, who was the one who told me, you have got to hear Bobby Dobson's testimony. I had hoped to have Jim on the program today as well, but was unable to get up with him. So just hoping that we'll be able to maybe get him on in a future show to make a bookend of this, because without Jim, I would never have known who Bobby Dobson was. But so many people around the upstate of South Carolina and beyond just this state, have benefited from his charitable work, have benefited from his remarkable faith in Jesus Christ and the type of man he became because of that. And it's something that, as I told Brent, I think we all need to aspire to, and just pray that after we're gone, that people can say something remotely close about me. I just speak for myself. As the way everybody that I've talked to speaks about Bobby Dobson. That's the kind of legacy. When the Bible talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and laying your treasures up in heaven, I think this is a great example of that. Bobby Dobson certainly did that, and we are all the better for it. Listen, just want to remind you that we would love to hear from you. If you have questions, concerns, guest suggestions, if you need us to pray about something, dan@danscottshow.org. dan@danscottshow.org is the number, or is the email address. We do have a phone number, 864-788-9596. If you want to get in touch with us that way, you'll probably have to leave a message. And then at the website, danscottshow.org, there is a contact form. We would love to hear from you, would love to be able to pray for you, and I promise you we answer each and every submission that is given to us. I answer them personally. So fire away. Would love to hear what you think about the program. Thank all of you. Thank our affiliates who continue to be so faithful. The Life FM is, of course, our flagship with multiple stations all over the place, but so many others that have been with us almost from the very beginning. Thank all of you for what you do and continuing to help us in our effort to tell these amazing stories of God working in people's lives. And hopefully, He'll continue to grow this thing and do it at His pace. My job is to stay out of the way and be obedient, which is easier said than done. Can I get a witness? We'll be back with you again next week with another edition of the Dan Scott Show. Until then, I'm Dan. God bless you, and so long, everybody.